Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. Thank you for being a part of the show. And what a week, my friends. We are wrapping up the last page in the Obama presidency chapter, and we're just about to turn the page and start a new chapter in the story of our nation with a brand new commander-in-chief to be elected in just days. So that's how we're going to begin our show. Lord knows we need prayer now more than ever, so we're going to begin the program with that as we kick off episode number 77 today. Also, I want to talk about really good music coming up on the program today. It's the kind of music that can lift you out of yourself, put you on like a heavenly dance floor with the Lord as you hold on to Him like a little girl dancing with her daddy and feeling so safe and special. And really good songs, hymns, I think have the power to do that, to speak to our hearts, to open our eyes and change our entire day in just a few minutes. And I recently discovered that again, so I want to share who it is and a few of the lyrics with you as well, and hopefully you'll fall in love as I did. We'll do that. Also coming up on the show, the Marines are looking for a few good men, and so is our church. We know we need that, but also a few solid sisters, and I mean lay women. We need lovers of Christ, missionaries of mercy, soldiers of truth, and that's a big one right now, but there's a fracture happening in the church, in mainstream Christianity, and I specifically want to talk about the case this week with a very prominent Protestant speaker, Jen Hatmaker, and some developments that have really set off a tidal wave, I think, of very passionate opinions and also divisions. And so I do want to touch on that, the need of solidarity and really being rooted in what we believe, because we're in a time of great confusion and some division that's been happening for a while. So not a real light and fluffy show today. No arm wrestling competition's going to be happening on the program this episode, but it's going to be good. So as we begin, let's consecrate, lift up, and make holy the time that we have. Dispose our hearts to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and to rest in Him. Our opening prayer is today not just about the upcoming election, not just about the candidates or the party, but standing before our God with a clean heart and an obedient spirit. If you would join me now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, as the election approaches, we seek to better understand the issues and concerns that confront our country and how the gospel compels us to respond as faithful citizens to our community and our church. We ask for eyes that are free from blindness, that we might see each other as brothers and sisters, one in equal dignity. We ask for ears that will hear the cries of children unborn and those abandoned. We ask for minds and hearts that are open to hearing the voice of leaders who will bring us closer to your kingdom. We pray for discernment so that we may choose leaders who hear your word, live your love, and keep in the ways of your truth, and guide us to your kingdom of justice and peace. We ask this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
It's Brooks
House.
It's Brooks
House.
Well, come on in. Welcome to our home. So we just bought a new microwave and are excited about that. Our last one succumbed to a minor fire that happened when I was working. My husband, evidently home with all the kids, put a sponge in there to nuke off the bacteria, which we've done before, but something went wrong, I was told this time. So our kitchen appliances are all on the fritz, really, since we moved in, because it's one of those things that we moved and have moved before, but in a lapse of judgment in the negotiation of the contract, our last house that we sold, they really wanted the appliances. And because there were appliances in the new house we were buying, even though they were old and we were old, we thought we'll just go ahead and keep them. But soon we found out that they were not up to par. They didn't work half the time. The handle would come off. They leaked. And so sure enough, it's been over a year since we've been in our house. And I feel like we've been blessed that they've held up as long as they have. Because these are the types of things when you go to a house showing that don't automatically show up, that you don't see immediately. So we had finally the ability with our emergency fund to get the microwave. Come on in with Brooke's house. She'll see that new stainless steel baby in there. It doesn't match the rest of the appliances, but because we're using cash, we got to just kind of piecemeal them together. This was the display model. It's got a little dent on it, but it's paid for. It's a KitchenAid. It's an upgrade, and we feel good. And now next is the dishwasher. That's coming this week, and I've been hand washing dishes in our temporary family of eight with our foreign exchange student, but our dishwasher died too. So needless to say, paper plates have been in our lives a lot. So just don't mind the graveyard of broken appliances as you walk on through the kitchen. And check out this new music that I want to tell you about. So here's the deal. In working on my book, really, really needing to go deep in my heart, in my mind on these topics, I've been using all of the techniques that I know of to try to enter into a reflective place that allows me to do deep work, to really kind of drill down and unearth the jewels that may be hidden there so I can uncover them and let them shine as the Lord would bring forth, because they're in there deep, but I have to go deep to find them. And one of the ways that I found to really shut out all of the noise, all of the distractions of the rest of my life and of the world is by listening to hymns. And sometimes it's chants, monastic music. Other times it is traditional hymns or contemporary Christian music, but it's always about Jesus. And one of my favorite songs recently is called No Longer Slaves. I think it actually came out in the summer, but that's how long it's been on my heavy rotation, so to speak. So I listen to it for probably like the 2 millionth time on YouTube, but then wanted to find out who wrote the song, who is singing the song, decided to look up the artist, and it's a guy by the name of Jonathan Helzer, who with his wife Melissa happens to have a brand new album out. And so I've fallen in love. That was it. That's all she wrote. It's called Beautiful Surrender. And that's where I have been. I've been on kind of a brain and spirit break, just filling my head with these songs just about all day, every day, and then writing, and then listening, and then going through scripture. And it's been a really surprising blessing, because in the process of writing, I usually am just a, as the moment, as the spirit hits kind of writer. That is when I would be moved to work on a blog post, and it would be sporadic. But now it must be structured when I've got a manuscript that's due December 1st. And thinking as I began that it was going to be stressful, but it really has just been this beautiful serenade by my Savior, because I'm just echoing back the truths that He's always said, and not in any way coming up with my own stuff. It's all His and His alone. So that's been a really wonderful experience. But also with the blessing of this music, kind of helping push me deep into my spirit. And something that I used to do when I worked at The Fish on the morning show, we had a feature called Psalm and a Song, which the lyrics are like a psalm. That's what I love about some of these really beautiful new Christian songs, because they're so beautiful. And so we would read just a little blurb on the air so that it becomes a meditation when you're listening to the music, and not just kind of a sonic melody, but something that really gets into the heart. And so I want to just read a couple that have really struck me and that I've been thinking about, reflecting on over this last week. One is called Find Me. That's the name of the song. You can get it on YouTube. It's on iTunes. But listen to this. Check out this lyric. One of them says this: like the dust that you first held in the garden where you knelt, pull me up against your face again, till the breath of your hope fills the depths of my soul, till all I know is I've been found by love. The dust that you held in the garden where you knelt, pull me up against your face again. So the way I hear that is that we are the dust that He put up to His sacred face. We are dust to dust. That's all we are, all of humanity. And He is holding us, breathing in hope to the depths of our soul, until all we know is that we have been found by love, set free and saved. Oh my, that's amazing. I'm really sensory oriented, so I like using creation, and I like when songs talk about our DNA, our breath, our lungs, our blood, the wind, you know, all of these things that are around us, but we don't necessarily pay attention to. So that one has rocked my world. And that's just one stanza. The entire song is really good. And the problem and the beauty is that these are songs that I call stuck song syndrome. They're like an earworm where it gets stuck in there and it's looped over and over again. But in a way, it's good because then you can commit it to heart. And so that's one. It's called Find Me. Another one that I thought was interesting. Now, almost a year ago, I talked about Brendan Manning, and it was the episode of the podcast which I talked about the Rich Mullins movie called Ragamuffin. And, you know, Rich Mullins, he wrote Awesome God, a lot of contemporary hymns. And he was also, by the way, in RCIA to start the process to become Catholic when he died in a car accident. Well, one of the people who really influenced his life and changed him profoundly was Brendan Manning, a Jesuit. And interestingly enough, with that story, I kind of went on an odyssey to discover Brendan Manning. A neighbor had told me about it. I hadn't even heard of him. Was the author of a book called The Furious Longing for God, which is now kind of a modern day classic. He's written others as well. So check this out. This new song that I'm loving and living, it's called Abba, was written and inspired by Brendan Manning. The writer, Jonathan Helsler, read that book and took from one of the prayers this Abba song. And I just love how God works, how things are not a coincidence. We kind of think it is. I fall in love, and really, I fell in love with it earlier before because it's him and it's Brendan Manning tied in his spirituality. So here's a bit of that lyric. It goes like this: You are more real than the wind in my lungs. You are more real than the ground I'm standing on. Your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You're my reality. And then he talks about Abba, I belong to you. You are closer than the skin on my bones. You are closer than the song on my tongue. Psalm 139, before a word is ever on my tongue, you know it. Before a word is ever on my tongue, Lord, you know it. Isn't that the coolest? Now, see, here's the thing. They, it turns out, belong, these writers, these artists, to a modern church. And so for me, there are some theological questions as I listen to the music that do make me go, a little bit in question, because one of the songs, another that I love, is called So Much Grace. And these lyrics, so tell me as you're listening to this, if there's anything that stands out to you that kind of rubs you the wrong way. Okay, here it is. Heard about a man with holes in his hands. He can hide mountains of sin in them. His smile destroyed my religion. His love shakes down my prison. All right, so the one that stuck out to me was his smile destroyed my religion. Now, in working in CCM music in that format for a while, there are some songs in a movement kind of more Jesus, less religion, I don't need church, I just need God, that really do bug me, because I feel like if you have the right religion, you have God. And as a Catholic, I would say the first, the only, the original, that's the church. And so in It's not, no, it's, we don't worship a dogma. We worship Christ, and he is all. He is beyond all of the things that we could do and perceive. But his illuminated truths have given us the faith that comes with the Eucharist, that comes with reconciliation, that comes with the religion, that gives us grace, that helps us fall in love with him and see him in the fullest that our brains are able to perceive. I think, though, it goes back to good music, in that when a hymn is holy, holy and good, it has the ability to stir our hearts and open our eyes and hopefully deepen our thoughts. And so I think it's good, even if you're not in agreement with every lyric, there is so much to it. This is really rich music. And if you're looking for some good worship and praise music, I do recommend them. Their new album is called Beautiful Surrender. And let me know if you check it out. And the cool thing too, there's that song Find Me, the first one that I shared with you. You can find the lyric videos, but then there's also the regular videos that there aren't lyrics attached to it. They're just kind of singing and doing a traditional music video. But that one, he is in a canoe in the middle of the woods in the water when it's raining. And for some people, it'd be like, that guy is so weird. But for me or my husband, who's an outdoorsman, or anyone that's kind of Franciscan in their faith with all of creation, it's like, this is a glimpse of heaven. I mean, how super earthy and cool, kind of Catholic Christian hippie could you possibly get? So I recommend it. Again, it's called Find Me. What music are you loving? I would love to hear from you. What's your favorite song and why? What are you really digging right now? Oh no, now I'm talking like a hippie. I'm going to change my vernacular quickly. So there you go. Feedback@goodthingsradio.com. That's the way to do it. It's super groovy. And there you are. And now I'm turning into Greg Brady. Okay, different topic. Speaking of good music. So I did receive an email from a Good Things Radio listener, a good friend of the show, and talking about the music on the Arise retreat in April. So specifically Taylor Tripodi. She had a question about Taylor, wasn't familiar. So here's what I just wanted to tell you. And a couple episodes back, as we rolled out the big reveal, I kind of gave bios of everybody, but I just want to mention that Taylor in particular is worth the ticket of admission. She is a young woman. She travels all over the country, does a lot of stuff with Steubenville, Steuby conferences, and will also be the worship leader of this year's Columbus Catholic Women's Conference. Just a voice like an angel. So she will be performing, and she's young, but that's what I love about this retreat. I believe there is something for everybody at any age. If you are a woman and you want to draw in deeper to the Lord, this is the weekend to do it. And with music, we're also going to have the Healing Holy Hour with the Children of Mary. They will be singing. At last count, we have 15 tickets left for this retreat. And, you know, as I'm thinking, entering November, it would be a really good idea for someone or 15 someones to either request this or gift this as a Christmas present, because you think about what kind of gifts we want to give. And for me, it is something that conveys love, something that conveys faith or an experience. And the awesomeness of this in one present, it's all of that. You have the faith element of giving a gift that is what the season is all about. What other gift can you give that is mercy and reconciliation and laughter and new friends and chocolate and a weekend away? I mean, you can't, not for the price that's being offered anyway. And so something to think about, to drop hints maybe if you haven't already to a husband or a friend. And because we want you there, again, it's Father Nathan Cromley. He will be our retreat master. It's hard to really quantify what he will be able to bless you with in just a quick polished sentence. He is in demand all over the country, and recently over the last year went back to his order to begin the St. John Institute, in which they are forming an amazing student body of young men and women to go out and really be part of the new evangelization in the marketplace, in the workforce. So he's very limited in the things that he'll be doing next year. But by the grace of God, he has given his yes and will be at this retreat doing amazing teachings and preaching. Also, we have Emily Jaminet, Michelle Fainley. They are joining us, the authors of Divine Mercy for Moms, talking about what mercy looks like. Minute by minute, day by day, in days that we always don't see it and feel it. And they've got some really good workshops planned as well. The Children of Mary are going to be working on our hearts with the Healing Holy Hour. Andrea Cingarella bringing her beautiful self and the workshop leader. We're going to make Divine Mercy chaplets that you can keep and pray or give away. Linda Isaiah will be there, my wonderful preacher sister, talking about building strength, finding joy, so much more. And again, it's so hard to just give you a quick tease when the heart of the weekend is so much richer and fuller and deeper than what I can even articulate. So if I can just say a big trust me, do that. If you're feeling that tug, check it out. Details are in our show notes. You can also search Eventbrite and look for Arise 2017.
Well, the mail must go through. The mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through. I sent the mail.
I was happy to see an email from Vicky in the inbox. She said, Brooke, I was fortunate enough to attend both days of the women's retreat at my parish, Our Lady of Guadalupe, and I wanted to thank you for taking the time away from family to share wonderful insights with us. It was truly a blessed weekend for me and my sister. We attended the retreat. I also would like to thank Vicky and Christina for making the trip to the Quad Cities. They added their own loving touch to the weekend behind the scenes, and they get a big pat on the back and snappy salute. Because if you listen to, I think it was at episode 76, where does the time go? The last episode before this one, we took it on the road. They were with me as we traveled to Illinois and did a little roadie on the way back, recorded the show as we just fell in love with Silvis, Illinois, and the church, the women there at Our Lady of Guadalupe. She said, I discovered your podcast and I just subscribed to it. Thank you. That deserves a shout out. Little celebration. I just finished listening and enjoy your latest podcast where you spoke about your weekend and your time with Father Peter and your interview with Lisa Levy. We are so fortunate to have Father Peter as our pastor. He has brought wonderful speakers to our parish. I'm so glad he discovered you and brought you to our parish. Well, thank you. I am too, Vicky. She said it was like sitting with some good friends and sharing ups and downs, trials and blessings, and maneuvering these crazy days we experience together. I loved your interview with Lisa. She's a lovely woman. She and her husband, Matt, are a wonderful blessing to our parish. Deacon Matt's homilies are so good in that he points out how the Old Testament Jewish beliefs and practices are fulfilled in the New Testament. He also takes us to the Holy Land in his descriptions of the background for the readings and the gospel and how it relates to Jewish practices and the foundations of our own Catholic practices. Vicky, you are so blessed. What a gem and a jewel you have in Matt and the Levy family. I am just inspired listening to that, and I don't even know the details, but you paint the picture of what a rich family we have in our faith, and I think the beautiful gifts that can come when people give themselves in their church in each parish. Beautiful. She said, she said, you have made some friends in the Quad Cities for life. Thank you until we meet again. Thank you so much, Vicky. The feeling is mutual. I can say that. And that is what this podcast is all about. That's the point, the purpose. It's doing life together, trying to pull each other up with the reminder that we are never alone. God is with us, and true sisters in Christ help remind us of that. And that's also why I'm such a believer in retreats like the one in Silvis at Our Lady of Guadalupe, like Arise. It is not just like a superficial party, but a really life-changing experience when we let God in. And what a gift. So thank you so much, Vicky. Feedback, that's my favorite part of the show, but I need you. So please, if you want to send a voice message, you can download the Voxer app too, Vicky. If you haven't, it's free. It's super cool. Just go to Voxer, V-O-X-E-R, download it. And I have to warn you, once you have it, you're not going to go back. You're going to love it. But Brooke Taylor and the number one is how you can just leave a quick voice message. We can share it on the show. Also email feedback@goodthingsradio.com. That's how you can reach us. And finally, I want to tackle a topic that's been in the news this week, and that is Jen Hatmaker. You may know her, you may not. She is a popular Christian author and speaker. Recently, Lifeway announced their Christian stores that they are going to be pulling her books and materials based on her recent remarks supporting the LGBT lifestyle. So in a statement, I pulled it up, Lifeway said, in the past, Lifeway Christian Resources published several resources with Jen Hatmaker. In a recent interview, she voiced significant changes in her theology of human sexuality and the meaning and definition of marriage, changes which contradict Lifeway's doctrinal guidelines, and that they have discontinued selling her books in 185 stores, also online. And so that has ignited a firestorm across the country within denominational circles and without. And so I've been watching this closely for a few reasons. One is because I have to say, privately, as a speaker, I have been on the same ticket at some events with those that I deeply disagree with theologically, and it's mutual. And so I do find it challenging because I am Catholic and I may disagree with them, and surely they write back. So what happens in the event that they bash my church, because that has happened before, or the truths that I would die for, and they are up basically discounting on stage and saying, you know, different things that they might just kind of get in there as nudges. Do I return in kind? What's my responsibility if I'm going up next on stage? Do I just stick to my message and ignore a grave error? Now, that's a slightly different topic here, but I think for me, it really struck a nerve because something is bubbling under the surface that is hard to ignore, even if we just want to kind of stay in our lane, so to speak. Because even as Catholic women, faithfully in communion with the church, her teachings, obedient to the revealed church of the magisterium, we face others that are the same, that say they're the same, but they may undermine the teachings of the church or deny things like traditional marriage. And when you are in a position of influence And we all are in our circles, whether you are a single young woman or you are a mom of 10 or you are a quote unquote celebrity. We are called to be preachers of truth in our own place, as John Henry Cardinal Newman would said. And I have seen this played out where music artists, popular Catholic speakers are speaking in error. And I can say that because it's not my opinion. It is completely contrary to the teachings of the church. And so how do we handle that? What are we called to do in that case? So before I answer that, I want to kind of back up a little bit and look at the Jen Hatmaker controversy. There was a great op-ed piece on this, I thought, written by Matt Walsh, and I want to share it with you. It is long, and I'm tempted to read it in its entirety because I think it's that important, but I just want to start, we'll see how far we get. I want to start with some of the great points that he makes. Here we go. He said, Jen Hatmaker is a prominent Christian author and speaker. My wife tells me she had a show on HGTV for a while. These days, she's apparently moved away from renovating homes to renovating scripture. That's a problem, because unlike an old ranch-style house with ugly carpets and 70s wallpaper, God's holy word does not need any updates. It is eternal, unchanging, and always right, no matter how we happen to feel about it. Christians like Jen Hatmaker would do well to remember this, especially if they've been given, or claim for themselves, a position of leadership in the faith. It is a grave responsibility to be a Christian with an audience. As someone with an audience of my own, I know this well. If we contradict Christian teaching, if we misrepresent Christ's commandments, if we lead people away from the truth and into darkness, we have not only put their souls in jeopardy, but our own. Christ says it would be better for us to drown in the sea with a stone tied around our necks than to cause someone else to stumble into sin. I believe he meant that quite literally. That leads us to Hatmaker's interview with the Religion News this week. When asked about gay marriage, Hatmaker declared homosexuals have the right to marry members of the same sex. She said our churches should offer support and instruction in gay marriages. In other words, believing that churches should not only accept the abomination of gay marriage, but actively facilitate it. This is the gospel according to Jen Hatmaker. Many supposed Christians in our culture have a similar gospel, but it may be useful to pause here and reflect on what the actual gospel has to say on the subject. Indeed, we either believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God or we don't. If we don't, then we shouldn't be writing books and giving interviews and going on TV and speaking in front of crowds while waving the Christian banner. We should renounce the faith, declare ourselves agnostic or atheist, and then we'll be free to promote moral relativism and hedonism all we want. We'll still be wrong, but at least we'll no longer be heretics. But if we do actually accept the Bible as the unalterable and eternal, immutable truth, then we must make sure that we aren't publicly contradicting it. So he goes on to cite scripture, several passages from 1 Corinthians 6:9 to Romans 1:26 to 1 Timothy 1:8 to Jude 7, on and on about what scripture says. Now, you may struggle with the biblical teaching on homosexuality, just as you may struggle with any other teaching, and it's challenging. You may not understand it. You may find it harsh and difficult and emotionally distressing. But before we even get into explaining why the Bible says what it says, we all really need to establish that it does say it, period. We are commanded by God to accept this teaching or risk losing our souls. It's not an option. We're not required to follow Christ only in the areas where we can find mutual agreement with him. Our consent and agreement does not matter at all. Not one tiny bit. We are called to follow. That's what it means to love God. If Mrs. Hatmaker finds herself grappling with doubt and uncertainty about this teaching or any other, she should pray about it, consult her pastor, as we all should, read scripture, read Christian apologetics on the topic, pray more, and then pray again. She should do all of this in private, speaking only with close Christian friends and mentors who may be able to help sort through it, discern. But what she should not do, what she absolutely cannot do, is stand in front of the world and declare these teachings moot just because she finds them distasteful. How she feels about them personally is of no consequence. She is not God. Her thoughts and feelings don't become reality just because they entered her head. Obedience is not emphasized in churches very often these days, but it should be. Obedience to God means following him, standing by him, affirming his teachings at all times, even when we struggle to understand them. We are commanded to submit to God. Submit, that means give in, surrender to his word, his law, no matter how it makes us feel. So then he goes on to really systematically talk about why gay marriage is wrong in the eyes of God, what scripture says about it, not based on his own opinion, but looking from Genesis forward, church teaching, and ends this way. Nothing has happened or can ever happen to debunk or disprove God's truth. All that can happen is that we, in our weakness and often stupidity, become blinded to it. And if we are blind, then we should pray to have our eyes opened. But until that happens, all we can do is follow God's voice in the darkness, wherever it leads. That we should always remember is the very essence of faith. Going back to what I was saying is, whatever faith tradition you are, there are divisions. And a friend of mine actually recently sent me an email that I thought right along with this tied in and went right into the narrative of what we're seeing back and forth. And I just want to share this candidly with you. She said, until this year, the last verses of Luke chapter 12 were my least favorite of the Gospels. I didn't understand why Jesus would actually say that he did not come to bring peace. For me, I've always been a peacemaker, and I turn my attention and my heart away from the idea that Jesus did not want peace. But I've had time to reflect on these messages so much this year, since there's been a clear divide among my family, including my sisters and me, and Catholics and friends, regarding which candidate is most righteous, or rather, which candidate is most evil. Here are the gospel verses that spell it out. Jesus, a cause of division. I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it's accomplished. Do you think I've come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided. A father will be divided against his son, and so forth. He also says to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say immediately that it's going to rain, and so it does. And when you notice the wind is blowing from the south, you say it's going to be hot, and so it is. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? So how does Jesus challenge us to stay true to him and not the world? How does he challenge us to see clearly him and interpret the present times as they are, not how we wish they would be? So we're challenged to see truth, but also stand with truth, and that will cause division. And so I think for me, that's a message that I need to hear, because like my friend who emailed me, I just want peace. I want peace in my family. I want peace in my home. I want peace when I go onto social media, and I want peace in the world. And until he comes again, we are the church militant. And I say it in a lot of my talks that we are, if you're listening as women, but men as well, not just moms and nurses and chauffeurs and cooks and all of the hats that we wear, but soldiers in a battle for our children's souls and to defend our church. And right now, it might cause social awkwardness or maybe a division with friends and family. But what happens when we actually speak out about the truth and don't accept the world's version of what goodness and righteousness is? Are we prepared for that kind of division? These topics still make me uncomfortable, but I know they're necessary. We need to embrace all people. We know that. We need to see Jesus and them as he sees us and loves us. But if Jesus came to bring division, we have to prepare for that somehow. And so whichever way the election goes, we're going to continue to see our nation change. I believe that. And that is why we need the few, the proud, the brave, good men and women, not on our high horse, as someone called me recently for saying that I stood up for the church. I'm not condemning, but to know our faith and to be able to live it out in a way that will rouse the attention of a world that desperately needs to hear truth. Because when we're not saying truth and just going along with the crowd, that's not love. He is the Galilean liberator, after all, not to enslave us by his oppressive rules, but to free us with the emancipation we need from the slavery of sin. And that's what his word is. We are all called to be challenged. Got to stick together, and we've got to stick with him. And as Forrest Gump says, that's all I've got to say about that. So as always, please share your feedback about that or any other topic. Do you have any ideas about good music? Do you want to chime in about the election? Because it is coming fast and furious. For some, you might not hear this episode until it already passes on voting day. And so that's why we begin in prayer, we end in prayer, if you would join me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your voice. You have given it to us in an immutable form, ever ancient, ever new. Help us to hear your voice and follow you, not the voice of a stranger, but the voice that says, come and follow me. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to seek you, to find you, to defend you, and to surrender our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being a part of episode number 77. Thank you to Vicki for reaching out and sending that email. Thank you for listening. Thank you to all of our Podbean patrons for supporting the program. It is because of you the show is still here. If you want to support the program, all you need to do is go to podbean.com or even in the show notes, click on Become a Patron. By doing that, you can donate anything from $1 a show, $20 a month. There's no maximum. There's no minimum. And by doing that, you're supporting Good Things Radio. Also, leave a review if you'd be so kind on iTunes. I've gotten a couple new reviews. I want to share them with you because really it's a testament to this community. I'll do that on the next show if I can remember. I need to write myself in a note in my handy dandy planner. Also remember Erica at Chaotic Blessing. She has that peaceful planning holiday session going on that you can check out now too if you visit chaoticblessing.com. And thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from cumminghomestudio.com. Thank you for his dynamic skills and quick work. If you have any questions or needs, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. Until next time, friends, God bless you.